Welcome to the show, Gold Squadron Gays. It's the podcast where two Star Wars loving gays talk about and review their favorite Star Wars content while also being gay as hell. I'm your host, Bradley Brower.
I'm your other host, Charles Rogers, and right now, my boyfriend directly outside my door is attempting to corral the screaming cat, who is upset that he is not allowed in the room when I do the recording. He is deeply betrayed by this fact, and I know people are going to be like, but Charles, why ever would you not allow your cat in the room while you're recording? Folks, go listen to the latest behind-the-scenes episodes of For Light and Dice. Just how many times he screams over the course of the day. If I talk, he's going to think I'm talking to him, and then he's going to want to be part of this conversation. And we don't need to. We don't have time for that.
That makes so much sense.
That's
so
what's
confused.
Happening.
Yeah, that's
so why he screams so much when I record podcasts, because he doesn't understand I'm talking to other people.
Right, you're not.
I'm sitting here talking to an inanimate object. He thinks, because he's the only living thing in the room, that I'm talking to him.
That's so funny. I didn't even put that together. That's hilarious.
Yep, that's exactly what's happening. He's very stupid. I love him, but he's very stupid. Before we get into the content of our episodes, welcome back to Visions, everyone. We're finally finishing Visions. Yay! I'm so glad we're not talking about the Bad Batch yet.
You know what? I think I'm actually relieved, only because I feel like there's so much to process with this season of the Bad Batch that we would have regretted doing it right away, because then we would have been like trying to give all of our thoughts at once and not have the whole picture. And I feel like with this season, we're going to need the whole picture. So,
because this one almost seems like an extended series finale.
Yeah.
Like the last four episodes we've gotten have all just been like paying off the stuff that was in the first two. So we will be starting, at least according to our schedule, and we never know how our schedule is going to go because Lucasfilm hates us and wants to spite me specifically, but we are scheduled to begin our Bad Batch coverage right as soon as the show is ending. So we will have a full picture when we cover the show. I do have two things that I need to say up front before we dive back into Visions. We do have a little unfinished business with Ahsoka, which was the last thing we covered. On an episode of Ahsoka, we mentioned Ezra fighting the possessed Night Sister ghosts with somebody, neither of us remembered who that was. Our friend and Legends correspondent Colton from Nerdsmith and For Light and Dice did contact me to let me know that was Maul. That was Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
That makes sense.
So thank you, Colton, for reaching out to me about that twice. I made sure to say it in the episode. The other thing, so for reasons that I cannot really get into, we have elected to record these episodes multiple weeks in advance, which we don't like doing, but we're doing it for specific schedule reasons. Again, we can't talk about it. It'll make sense in a couple of months. But because of this, feedback is going to be really hard. So in the previous Vision segments, we had feedback. We're going to try to do feedback again, but I can't promise how timely it's going to be. Because as we record this, we have the Ahsoka retrospective and the Twins episode going to come out before this. So we're like 2.5 weeks out.
Yeah, we're pretty
from this
far
episode
ahead.
Coming out.
Yeah.
We're pretty far ahead. So if you don't hear your feedback for the next few Visions episodes, I apologize. We can't do it because it's such a significant period of time, or it's going to be quite a ways later that we will get to that feedback. So please keep sending it. I'm going to try to get it in, but just know it's going to be on a hell of a delay. Alrighty. What are we talking about today, Bradley? What are we doing? What are we doing on the show? I have no notes, so.
Okay. Yeah. I took the notes. I probably should have went back and listened to our old Visions episode. I didn't because, I'm not a real journalist. I'm not a real podcaster, so.
You just say you hate the sound of your own voice, Bradley. We all do. We hate
the
sound of our voices.
Yeah, I think that's
what
it really is. I mean, because I can barely, edit these podcasts. So it's one of those things where like you go back and you listen to it. Like, I can't go back and listen to the finished product. Like, I can go back and edit it as it goes because I never have to listen to the before part again unless you tell me I need to fix something. So like, I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, I only have to listen to it one more time and it's fine.
I can listen to the sound of my own voice in the finished product that I QA before it goes live once. And that is only because the secondhand embarrassment of my own voice is offset by me being correct about everything. And so I get that lovely little hour-long serotonin boost.
I love that.
Of listening to someone be correct about Star Wars, because it's me. I agree with all of my opinions. Which Vision Show are we covering today, Bradley?
This week, we're covering Star Wars Vision Season 1, The Village Ride, where a Jedi on the run takes the unique customs of a remote village under threat by a warlord.
I do have a quick note here, just in terms of one of the characters, before we dive into this.
Sure.
So there is a little bit of discussion on F, who is the Jedi's gender in this short, that there is some behind the scenes stuff that says that F's design was meant to be, like, as far as the clothing, very gender neutral. So you're not sure what F's gender actually is. So some people actually do refer to F with they, them pronouns. I'm going to use she, her, because that's what Wikipedia uses. And I haven't seen anything
right
one way or the other from the creators. So I'm defaulting to what the Wikipedia is using. Just know up front, there are some people who prefer to refer to F with gender neutral pronouns. That is awesome. I'm all for that. I'm just defaulting to she, her, because I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. So,
right. And Wikipedia tends to respect the pronouns of a character.
They're getting better at it.
So, yeah.
They're getting better at it when they know. It's mainly based on some stuff from the art book about the clothing and how the clothing was meant to be very gender neutral, which, again, I think that's cool. I am going to go by what Wikipedia is doing just for the sake of this episode.
Sure.
For coherence. We're going to refer to F with she, her pronouns. But it's awesome if you do otherwise. All right. Now, I just wanted to throw that out there up front because I didn't want to seem like I was ignoring that. So,
okay, cool.
Bradley, go ahead and take us into the actual meat of the episode.
Would you like to know some information about the episode?
I would love to hear this.
Okay. So, this episode was directed by...
I stole that from Steph, by the way.
Is that what she says?
That's her quoting a movie. We don't have time to get into that.
Okay.
But I saw the opportunity to shout out our friends at the Dark Side Divas, specifically Steph and not Chris, and so I chose to take it.
This episode was directed by Hitoshi Haga. This episode was written by Takahito Unishi and Hitoshi Haga. Hopefully I said that right. I forgot that that all of these writers and directors for all these shorts are
Japanese, we're trying.
And I forgot that that was a thing. And I forgot that we have to pronounce their names. So again, I want to say up front, I'm sorry.
I think it's Takahito Onishi,
Onishi?
I want to say.
Okay. That sounds way better Onishi than what I just said. So that's the writer and director.
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
We're doing our best here. I did actually watch the behind the scenes for this one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Hitoshi Haga just seems like the coolest dude.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if you watch the behind the scenes, but so much of behind the scenes is him talking about, like, how he was incorporating the ideas of, like, Japanese mountain worship into this short and combining it with the Star Wars. And he has one quote that's like, I'm going to be misquoting here because I just watched it. But it was basically like, it may be self-indulgent of me, but I wanted to, like, make Star Wars as I saw it. I wanted to make, like, my Star Wars. And I'm like, no, dude, do that. Please do that. That's what we're here for. But he just seems like a completely, like, chill guy.
Yeah.
Who clearly feels very strongly about this short.
The studio that produced this short is called Kinema Citrus. The company produces animated television series and short films such as Made in the Abyss, Review Starlight, and The Rising of the Shield Hero.
So the only two,
don't know
the only
of
two of these, yeah, the only two of these that I recognized are Made in Abyss,
okay,
which I have not seen either of these shows, but I did make an attempt to look up what the studio has done.
Yeah, I got this on their website, so that's why I was like, because I figured that out from last time, that I can't trust IMDb to tell me
correct
what these studios make. I need to go to their actual websites or something to actually correctly find out, because I feel like IMDb will put anything they've made, anything they've collabed on, anything that has something even remotely similar to them or something. So it's like too vague. Like, I need to be like a little bit more better with my research.
Yeah, and you have to remember that this show continues to be this section of Gold Squadron continues to be a multi-episode apology, specifically to my boyfriend, who is out in the other room as I record this, for fucking up the first Visions episode that we did. Sorry, honey, I'm spending weeks apologizing to you, but you don't listen to the show, so you normally don't hear it. The only two that I recognized were Maiden Abyss and The Rising of the Shield Hero. It's to my understanding that the type Maiden Abyss is really good, is what I understand. The Rising of the Shield Hero, people who like isekai like Rising of the Shield Hero. That's my understanding of the critical reception of these. But yeah, they haven't done a lot like where they're the main studio working on it. It's mainly, yeah, Maiden Abyss and Rising of Shield Hero recently.
Yeah, because when I was on their website, like that seemed to be something that they made a lot of, or like more than one thing of that. And so I was like, okay, so this is either a franchise that they have or some kind of plot. So yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Some of these studios are really hard because they're either really big studios and they make a lot of stuff, or they're kind of smaller or indie and they make like one or two really good things and that's about it. And then I don't know those things because I'm not super into anime like that. So I'm not like a super anime file like person where I'm like, you don't know what Maiden Abyss is. Like, I can't believe it. That's like the best thing that's ever come out of Japan. Like, you know, so
I know the plots of both of these, but I've never actually watched them. I have seen clips from them though. Well, I will say Maiden Abyss looks like something I would very much enjoy if I ever had the time to sit down and write it. But unfortunately I don't, because as Bradley astutely pointed out in our pre-meeting, I do entirely too much stuff.
I was looking and randomly Maiden Abyss seems to be in development for a live action film. So that's an interesting, unfortunately it looks like Sony is making it, but
I'm gonna need live action remakes if they look, here's my thing, right? I'm gonna need live action remakes of things to stop.
They need to stop.
They need to stop because y'all keep picking the wrong things to make live. It goes all the way back to when Disney was doing its live action versions of its movies for no fucking reason. And now they just fired the guy who was in charge of that, which is good. Yeah, but
you gotta
stop. Or give things the live action treatment that actually need the live action treatment. The fact that Guillermo del Toro, of all fucking people, was trying to do a live action adaptation of Monster at fucking HBO, and HBO turned him down. This is the darkest timeline. This is the darkest timeline. That everything's getting a live action adaptation, except my favorite anime, which was supposed to be helmed by Guillermo del Toro. Oh my god. I'm just going to drink my coffee.
I like how you're continuing the trend of talking about this random anime that I've
This random anime yet. That honestly, I don't recommend to people. Like, you have to be a specific type of person to watch Monster. You really have to be. But if you're that type of... If you're the type of person in 2014 who unironically liked Hannibal, you're the type of person I recommend Monster to. Anyway, that has now continued. We should move on to another. Now that we've done the bit where I bring up Monster for no reason on this spot, what's next on our notes, Bradley?
Next up, I have the English cast of the show. You might recognize a few of these.
I do. Please continue.
Okay, so we'll go in order just that I have them. Of course, our main character is F, the Jedi or Padawan known as F. She is voiced by Karen Fukuhara. You may know her from Kimiko on The Boys or Katana on Suicide Squad. Or if you're really into animation, you know, you might know her as the voice of Glimmer on She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Nice.
I love her. Next up, we have the voice of Valko. That's his name in the credits. He doesn't have a name in the actual short. He's referred to in the subtitles as Explorer, which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
But that is his voice. He's the older man. His voice is Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa. Hopefully I said that right.
Tagawa.
He is known for lots of stuff. I mean, I was trying not to put all of his stuff on here, but I mean, he's been on everything. The Man in High Castle, Heroes, Stargate, Star Trek Next Generation, Babylon 5, Cuba and the Two Strings, like so many things. But he has a Star Wars connection.
Yes, he does.
And he has previously provided the voice of Sabine Wren's father, Ulrich Wren.
Yep, he is also in World of Warcraft Legion. I saw that literally right below. And He was in the show that we would be doing if we weren't doing a Star Wars podcast, Teen Wolf.
Oh, right. I forgot I wrote that down and then I deleted it for some reason. Yes,
because he was you forgot the bit because it's been literally 6 months since we did a Visions episode.
You're right. I should have brought up the Teen Wolf bit.
You always bring up the Teen Wolf connection.
Yeah, I forgot. I think he's in the third season because I remember him. He was in the Oni season. But anyway, he's a...
I did not even know they did an Oni season.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to spoil it. Wait, stop.
He's in season 3, episode 17, by the way.
Yeah. So season 3 is the Oni season. I'm not going to say
I'm not going to watch this show unless
you're
going to
end up watching. You will end up watching Teen Wolf at some point in your life. You are, trust me, sometimes I watch it instead of porn, okay? Like, it's just like, it's something that you need to watch sometimes just to get through the day. It's like some people Supernatural.
Was made with more art, more artistic, like, craft.
Integrity.
Sometimes than some of these TV shows.
Teen Wolf has no integrity whatsoever. It is shameless gay baiting at best, and it is like softcore gay porn at its worst. So I love it.
Well, I am a former Supernatural fan, so I think I understand all of these concepts well.
Yeah, it's very similar in that fan base still to this day has a chokehold on this franchise, even though it's not on anymore.
I still need to watch the one season of Wolfpack. You guys will know the one time.
Yeah.
The six episodes of Wolfpack that exist, or however many there are.
Right.
I still need to watch that show.
Yeah. Oh God.
I'm about to finally crack and get Paramount Plus, and the reason I'm doing it is because, again, our friends over at the Divas have shuttered their Marvel podcast, Marvelous Divas, and they are replacing it with a Star Trek podcast, and so now I actually have to watch Star Trek. This is the reason that I have to finally sit down and watch this show.
Oh wait, are they doing OG show?
My understanding is they're going to start with the OG show. I think they're going in release order, but I think they're not going to do every single episode. That was the last I heard. I don't want to speak for them.
Right.
And make an announcement for them. But the last I heard was they were going to go in release order and they were going to start with the OG show.
So maybe 10 years, I'll be on one of their episodes and I can talk about Star Trek current season.
whatever's current. What is it?
Yeah.
Strange New Worlds.
I think I only watched the first Discovery. Two seasons of that. Oh, I watched Lower all of Decks. Discovery, but yeah.
Everyone tells me I would like Lower Decks.
Moving on in the guest.
I forgot how bad we tangent when I'm not the one doing the notes. It's almost like we actually secretly like each other or something and enjoy talking about media.
This is too much of a casual conversation for us to actually be recording this. Moving on.
This is how we talk off mic, by the way. Who's next, Bradley?
Sorry. Moving on to the next cast member. Nicole Sakura is doing the voice of Haru, who I'm labeling as the bride. She's the bride character.
Okay.
She has been in shows such as Superstore, Teen Wolf, and Shameless. And I didn't actually know it was her until I looked her up because Wikipedia didn't have her tagged for some reason on, like, because, you know, they always on Wikipedia they always have like links to everybody's pages. For some reason hers wasn't linked, and I looked her up and I was like, oh, I know exactly who the fuck she is because I love Superstore, and again, she was on Teen Wolf, so it's just so funny.
She was in season 3 of Teen Wolf again.
It's hilarious. So again, another Teen Wolf plug, and like I said, I'm gonna do better moving forward. After this episode, I'm gonna try to make sure that I catch all Teen Wolf references. I will,
as you should. I'm telling you something changes in the two of our schedules, we are doing that Teen Wolf rewatch podcast.
You know, we're gonna do what Dark Side Divas did, and we're just gonna be like, nah, fuck Star Wars, we're gonna move on.
We're ending our Star Wars podcast. This is now a Teen Wolf, or what Rue Palps did, where they're like, oh no, we're keeping the show feed, but we're now doing something completely different from Star Wars. They've been doing non-Star Wars episodes for the past 4 or 5 episodes since they came back from hiatus.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're gonna do, is we're just gonna decide we're gonna keep the branding, but we're not gonna be a Star Wars. No, we're
loved it.
We're unfortunately stuck in this forever.
As long as they make Star Wars, I guess we're
as
really
long
stuck,
as they make Star as J Guys and Jedi's intro said, as long as they keep making animated Star Wars,
right,
is how their intro starts. Anyway, who's next? Tell me who's next, Bradley. Who's next?
This is probably gonna be your favorite entry in the cast.
It is.
Next up, we have the character of Asu, who I'm labeling as the groom, being played by Christopher Sean. You may or may not know previous voice work from him, because he did a tiny baby like show that no one's ever seen on this podcast, especially, called Star Wars Resistance, where he is the voice of Kazuda Ziono.
You know, just the main fucking character. Just the main of fucking the show.
Were you elated when you finally?
I was
heard
elated.
An English voice.
I was elated because remember, when I first watched these, I watched them in Japanese, and this is the first time I'm watching them in English. And I heard his voice, and I was like, Kazuda Ziono? Why are you here? I was delighted, although I knew he was in this episode. He has also been on Days of Our Lives, hilariously enough. He's been on You, Hawaii 5-0, and specifically as a throwback to me and no one else, he was on the Lizzie Bennett Diaries for 10 episodes as the character of Bing Lee. I have no reason to bring that up, except that I wanted to bring up that the Lizzie Bennett Diaries was a thing that existed and was real and happened.
Okay.
He's also in an episode of The Mindy Project.
Next up, we have Stephanie Shea. I don't know how to say her last. Shea? I want to say it's spelled so weird, so I don't know how to say that.
S-H-E-H.
I don't know how to say
Stephanie
that.
Stephanie Shea, I want to say.
She's playing the voice of Saku, who is the sister of the bride.
And how many acting credits does she have, Bradley?
Here's the thing. I was going to bring up the fact that she has a Disney trifecta. I was going to give you examples. However, because this lovely woman has over 600 acting credits, I cannot do that because there's too many to pick from, and or I just couldn't decide what to pick. She has Marvel video game voices. She has multiple Disney voices. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to say she has a Disney trifecta because I don't actually know what specifically they are because there's just too fucking many.
She's
like,
got a Disney trifecta. We don't even need to go checking.
I can't
to
even
see
check.
Which yeah. Disney trifecta she has. She has them. She probably has it several times over.
She probably does. Yeah, multiple. Like, I was like, I was shocked about how many credits this woman has. Like, I was like, wow, she is the queen of additional voices. She is the queen of animated voices. I was like,
oh yeah, a whole bunch of these I'm looking at are just like additional voices, additional voices, additional voices, additional
good
voices
for you,
which if you remember is apparently one of the best gigs that you can get.
I can
as a voice
see she
actor.
Has over 600 jobs that she's done. Like, good for her. Like, that's 600 different checks that she's gotten. Like, so I applaud her for her hard work.
She is really out here putting everybody else to shame as far as how many fucking things she has been in. Oh, hold on. Because she's not just an actor, she's also a casting director.
Oh.
And she was the casting director for the English voice cast of Star Wars Visions Season 1 and one episode of Season 2.
Wow.
But she's the casting director of this show
that
for the English cast.
Seems to make a lot of sense now that I look at it. Because think about how many, like, she has over 600 credits. Think about how many people she knows in animation. Like, she just knows voice actors. Like, she just, I'm sure she just has a Rolodex of people she just knows already anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So she's just like, hey, can you come do this? Hey, can you come do this?
She's also a voice director. She was the production coordinator in NYAV Post for Star Wars Vision Season 1. So, yeah, pretty fucking incredible career here.
I mean, good job, Steph. Like, just good job.
Congratulations on your mind-blowing success.
I would love to see her booth at a Comic-Con or something. Just all the pictures of all of her voices, like, behind her. Like, this massive wall. Like, that would be so funny.
And I believe we have one final person. And if it seems like half this episode is the voice cast, it's because there's so much voice cast to this.
Right. And I didn't think there would be on this episode because I didn't think there was like a lot of talking. But then when I went back and looked, I was like, oh, shit, wait, there actually is like quite a few people. Like, I left off like Villager 1, Villager 2, you know, stuff like that. But I did.
Yeah, there's
like
half
the
cast that we're not even talking about.
Yeah.
Who's the final person that we're talking about?
Final person is Andrew Kishino, who is doing the voice of the villain Izuma.
Now, we've talked about Andrew Kishino before. Why have we talked about Andrew Kishino before?
Well, not only is this man a Disney voice trifecta because he's done multiple Disney roles in multiple Marvel video games, mostly the Lego series, he did the voice of Saw Gerrera in Clone Wars and Bad Batch, voices in Rebels and Tales of the Jedi. He used to be married to Vanessa Marshall, aka Hera Syndulla, in Star Wars Rebels. They divorced in 2007. So we've talked about him before. So yeah,
we have in fact talked about about him before. Yes. He's in Lego Star Wars The Hobbit.
He's in every Legos project I look. Like, I'm pretty sure he's in every single one.
Every single one that, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I have one more bonus person if you're done talking about Andrew.
I am done talking about Andrew, who's the one more bonus person.
We have a bonus voice actor. Matthew Wood is doing the voices of the Battle in this episode.
I don't know. I don't think Matthew Wood has done a lot of Star Wars stuff, so I don't really think we need to talk about him.
I didn't even bother writing down his credits. I just said voices in most projects.
So if you're only joining us for Visions and you somehow have missed 25 years of Star Wars history, Matthew Wood has basically worked on every single Star Wars thing ever since Revenge of the Sith. Actually, he may predate that. Let me see how far back he goes.
I mean, it's a lot. Like, so I couldn't even tell you. It's,
well, his technical first credit is in 1977 with Star Wars A New Hope, because he was the supervising sound editor for the 2004 and 2011 editions of Star Wars A New Hope.
Well, there you go.
However, he appears to have been his very first one is Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. So this man has basically been involved in every single Star Wars thing ever since Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
I like
it. You know who Matthew Wood is. You know what his voice sounds like. He is the voice of the B1 battle droids in The Clone Wars. He is the voice of General Grievous in fucking everything. He is the voice of Roger in The Freemaker Adventures. He shows up in everything all the time. This man's career is Star Wars, and I love that for him. He deserves it. Now that we're done talking about the cast 30 minutes into an hour-long episode.
I was gonna say, now we can finally talk about the actual episode.
Yes.
So, Charles, I wanted to ask you first, before we get into like the plot details, I just want to talk about the animation style for like a quick second and just be like, hey, what did you think about the animation style? What was your like first opinion? What does it look like to you? What does it make you think of? Stuff like that.
So it's like a minimalistically beautiful animation style. Like, I was really struck by how they managed to do less with more. You know, for a show about, or for an episode about like the beauty of nature, they didn't get really bogged down in the details, like making sure everything was like this super photorealistic, super beautiful, like perfectly detailed representations of nature. It was more about capturing this feeling, they call it Majina in the show, this sort of symbolistic relationship with nature. They were more concerned with capturing the feel of nature than they were concerned with capturing the overall, like making sure every detail was completely right. And so when I looked at the animation style, you know, when I rewatched it right before we recorded this episode, my first thought was, wow, this is a lot more like blocky than I remember. This is a lot more like singular colors. And I took a step back and I was like, no, that's what they're trying to do.
Right.
They're trying to do less is more. They're trying to invoke feelings without being bogged down so that they can focus on things like the writing and animating the characters and making sure that there's details and making sure that their direction is tight as fuck in this. So I really liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought the characters were very expressive. There was a couple of awkward like lip movements, like mouth movements that some of the characters did in some of the scenes. But other than that, I really liked just how, I also liked how they managed to convey a lot about the characters, again, without the characters having to do a lot of like detailed movements. That the characters are very expressive without being over expressive. And I liked that a lot. What about you, Bradley? What was your thought of the animation?
Have you ever seen Steven Universe?
I've seen clips from Steven Universe.
So Steven Universe does something that this does exactly the same thing. It's almost that cute kind of simple style, but then like when you zoom out or like you go away from the characters and it's like, oh, here's like the characters, like they're like from far away kind of thing. They simplify the artwork down really simply. Like it's like almost like 2D, like it's really simple 2D. Like there's a scene where the bride and the groom like touch the rock or something, and then it like kind of floats up, and like, you know, like they see the memory of the mountain. When they zoom out on them, their eyes are just black pupils. They're like super zoomed out and you can see like there's no detail there. Steven Universe does the same thing, like when it's trying to be like zoomed out and like weird, like it's like, oh, they just have like dots for eyes. Like I don't know, it's just so cute and simplified. Like I really liked it. That's what the vibe it gave me. But you're right, it's very like just very simple colors, not like it's not overly saturated with like all these hues and shapes and stuff. So it's very like almost poly, like it's like a very simplified poly version. I liked it. I thought it was very simple because I feel like it was too detailed, it would be like distracting. I don't know. I liked it a lot.
No, I agree. It was very, we don't want to say simple as like a negative thing.
No,
because
no,
I think that we have a tendency when we talk about animation styles and things to equate simple with bad. Simple is not bad, right? Simple, right. Humble designs are not negative things. Like they're meant to invoke very specific reactions from the viewer. And I think Village Bride did an excellent job with its, like I was noticing too how some of the clothing, like even from a distance, like appears basically like shapes. Yeah. Right. And I thought that was very nice how that all like works together to create this sort of environment where we felt like we were getting impressions of what was happening as opposed to trying to photorealistically depict it.
Right. It was like almost like a moving artwork or like moving painting of some kind. Like it was like a minimalistic painting. Like that's what it kind of felt like to me. And I liked it a lot.
It all goes in service of the themes and the characters that they're working with, which are surprisingly complex for being jammed into 15 minutes of airtime.
This is one of the episodes where when I was watching it going like, is there an episode two? Is there an episode three? Like it felt like there's more story here. And that's impressive to me to include in these shorts, which are essentially all of Visions is really just like pilot episodes for all these like things. Like, oh, this is kind of like a jumping off point of like what we would theoretically develop into a real show. That's what this felt like. I was like, okay, where's the second part? Like this seems to be like the jumping off point for F. And I was like, I want to see her shit. Like, what does she do next? Like, I want to know.
And the thing about this one too, is that there's some that were like, oh, that, you know, this could be set in Star Wars. There's some like Tatooine Rhapsody where it's like, oh, if you kind of squint, you can kind of make this work.
Right.
This one just flat out is set very specifically in Star Wars with a specific time period, tying into rather like Tatooine Rhapsody, actually tying into specifically Star Wars events.
Yeah, this like, one's very, very closely Order 66, Separatists, like they mention all of it. Like you're like oh,
we're
yeah.
firmly like we're a handful of years, 2 or 3 years into the reign of the Empire. Like we've just had the Separatists. They talk about the Separatists. The Separatists are a plot point.
Right. They're like they left all their shit on this planet, and then the people of the planet take the leftover Separatist bullshit.
The Raiders, like, yeah, take it and are like using it against them. Yeah, like they're using the machine. Machinery, literally using the machinery of industry and the machinery of corporate capitalism to continue to oppress these villagers, even after the original developers of those tools had long since been removed from the planet or had withdrawn from the planet for reasons beyond anyone's control. And also, like, F's whole story being basically getting, like, dealing with her Order 66 trauma.
Right.
Again, like, we're doing this again, but we're also doing it in, like, a really subtle way to where she ends up like connecting to the planet, and that gives her the strength to overcome her personal trauma. Like she's part of something so much bigger than herself now. And also pretty sure when I watched this episode, pretty sure it is supposed to be implied that her master was killed by Vader.
Oh, interesting.
Because they talk about like in one of the flashbacks, I think they talk about like you hear voices saying like we need to fight him or something. And then when she has her last flashback, it's just like a shot of a red lightsaber. So I think it's supposed to be implied that she was actually killed by Vader, or her master was killed by Vader.
Sure.
Which I thought was, again, a nice touch. Like, I love this short. I love this one so much.
Yeah, there's so many things that they put in here. I mean, like, even her talking to the old man, or Valco, I think.
Valco, who I need a show about, by the way. I need more about Valco. I need more about, not to spoil the ending of this episode, but I desperately need more of these characters.
Yeah, so I don't want to jump to this question, but like how do you want to see this story continue?
Oh, I need 24 episodes of animation from this studio, from this specific writer and director who clearly gets it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this would make such a good cartoon show. Like, and I'm in the realm of we need to get away from the Rebels, Bad Batch, Clone Wars style, and we need to start going into something else and like not be so married to that style anymore. We need to start branching out and doing different style animations.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And I think this would be a really good one, because also I understand why we do computer animation in the way that we do it, because obviously it's cheaper and it's faster and whatever.
Not necessarily, but
I mean, it seems to be like, have you seen some of the cartoons on Nickelodeon right now? I mean, that's like they put those together in a week, but
they're also overworking their workers. But
well,
yes,
that's true. But like this style, like I would love to see this style, like in, you're right, like honestly, like a 20 episode arc. Like I want to see like what you can do with that. Like
give me 20 to 24 episodes.
Right. Let me see what you can do. Like, and go from there.
These characters, particularly F and Valco, they feel like they have such a weight and a gravity to them. They feel like they have so much character behind them because of how not a single second either of these characters on screen is wasted, right, with these two. Particularly with these two. Like Haru and Asa and the other like characters, they're all good. Like they're all good, well-rounded characters. But the two, F and Valco, clearly have such history. Like they have history with each other. They have personal history.
Right. Because I think we don't, I mean, we're clearly not getting the whole story with Valco. I feel like he takes on this role of like a surrogate father / like master or whatever for her.
Kind of mentor
like,
figure.
A mentor figure to her. Like, and like, I'm wondering if like he's just keeping it like to himself that he is like some kind of ex force user of some kind. I don't know. It just seems like he's just, I don't know. There's just so much to him that I feel like that we're not getting enough of that, or he knows more than he's saying. Like he could even be in the realm of like from the Guardian of the Wills or something like that, like some kind of like he knows stuff.
He's billed as the explorer,
right?
Like in the subtitles we never get his name in the actual show, but he's clearly some sort of explorer who's been like hanging around just doing stuff. And he says like he called her out there because like he was apparently friends with her master, and it's like,
right,
there's this whole weight to this. So I need more of these characters. I feel like F's story is really just beginning here. Like I want to see what happens to this character after the events. You know, this one badly needs the Ronin treatment. You know,
I agree.
If only because I just feel like we're at the start of this character's story.
I also need to know what F stands for, because I don't love one singular letter name for any character ever in anything.
Did you notice what's really interesting with F and Valco is that we don't get a lot, like we get only what we need.
Right.
But we don't even get F's full name. We don't even get Valco's name in the story itself. Like there's so much about these characters that we don't know. And I badly want to know what that is. I need more of these characters. But I also, and like the village characters, it'd be nice to see them pop up on occasion, but there's more that I want to see.
I mean, I like the village characters. I think that they serve the plot better as like a episode arc, right? Like
right.
This is the arc where she goes to the village and she stops the bad guy from taking the bride from like there's like clearly a plot just for the village, and that's fine. And then she moves on to the next thing. Like she moves on to the next village or the next planet or the next whatever. Like,
right,
you know, they all serve their purpose in this story. I do want to talk about the villain too, because I think that he's flamboyant in a way that I love in my villains, but not to the point where it's like, oh, he's just an evil gay person. Like I love, like I, not that I'm not that I don't know, I'm not assuming what he likes, but I'm just saying he's very like, he reminds me of, if you've ever played The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, there is,
I haven't,
okay, well there's a character in that game called Girahim. And he is identically like the same character here. It's like a gray skin, like elfish features, very looking person. But in that game, he's very effeminate. He's very like, very homosexual, right? Like he's just, that's who his character is. He's just very like crazy, weird gay person. I love him. This guy, Izuma, I think is his name.
No, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Izuma, I'm pretty sure it's Izuma.
Izuma, sorry. He's just cool. Like he has a cool look to him. I also read, I put a little fact down because I think that somebody said that the species of the main villain, Izuma, has not yet been identified, although he appears to be Umbaran, which is what Slime War is. I thought that was interesting.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true, but he looks I mean, I believe
I
it.
would believe it. I would believe that he's supposed to be Umbaran.
Yeah, and it's just cool looking. Like, he's just, I don't know. He looks like a villain. Like, he looks like this creepy. His eyes are
He's
almost like
also
red and.
he's not what you would expect from a character who's a raider, which I found interesting in the context that if you hear the word raider,
Yeah.
you think somebody who's like this space Viking type character. You think of a Nile. You think of like this space Viking with, or like the guys that are around him.
Right,
You
his
don't
little
think of
henchman, yeah.
somebody who's very, like, he's very lithe. He's dressed in this like robes type deal. You know, he clearly takes care of himself. Like, this is not who you think of when you think of Raider. So it's a very interesting, it gives this idea that this guy is either very wealthy or he's trying to project an image of being very wealthy, which are both interesting things about the character that we
Right.
can glean just from looking at his appearance. And also the fact that he's, you know, had to reactivate these battle droids to do all of his fighting for him because he's
I
only got
like that,
like
yeah.
two or three raiders with him. So there's subtle clues like to what's actually going on here that I really like. God, I love this short so much. It's so
Well,
good.
I want to ask you, so do you have any final kind of thoughts on this episode as
Yeah,
a
I mean,
whole?
we already kind of did the would you we
Right,
kind of did the
would
would you
you
see
ra yeah,
this
what do you want to see?
continue? I mean, obviously, yes, I would love to see this continue. Yeah, I love this episode. I'm glad we got to come back into Visions on this one. Because I watched it and I remembered, ah yes, I love Visions. I do actually have a final shout out. Kevin Pinkin does the music for this episode.
Okay.
The score for this episode is fucking phenomenal and reduced me to tears.
Okay. I like it.
Incredible, incredible work. I highly recommend, I recommend watching all the behind the scenes little featurettes that they have on Disney Plus for these, but I particularly recommend The Village Bride, because you can actually, they have like shots of him when he's directing the orchestra to
I
do
like that.
this score, and it's really impressive to watch him work. So shout out to Kevin Pankin for doing just a fucking phenomenal job with the music.
And before I give my final thought, did you say, I feel like months ago, didn't you say that this was either your favorite episode or one of your favorite? I feel
This is
like
my favorite. This is my favorite of season one.
season one. Okay,
This is
that's what I
my
thought.
favorite. This is my favorite Visions episode of season one.
Okay.
Yes.
Final thoughts for me. It's just gorgeous. Like, I love the painting-esque like feel to this. I really like the characters. I really like the story. I feel like we honestly 17 minutes isn't enough. Like, I wanted a full 45-minute movie, like mini movie of this, like, because I feel like it would have been so good. But other than that, I'd like to see them continue this. I do think this needs the Ronin treatment. It needs to have something else. Whether that is comic book, show adaptation, whatever, like something, or even a novel would be fine. Like, I want to see like a novel of F and her journeys. Like, let's get some more.
So in the episode, if you look, you can see that the Raiders are piloting an Old Republic era XS freighter. The XS freighter, most famously in our particular wheelhouse, being the very same freighter which is piloted by the crew of the Phantasmal Squonk on the podcast For Light and Dice. That is exactly the same ship. The reason I am bringing this up is because next week we are also doing an episode that ties into For Light and Dice. We get two For Light
Ah,
and Dice tie-in episodes back to back.
I like that.
Next week, we will be covering season one, episode five of Visions, The Ninth Jedi. Pluggables! Bradley works on a bunch of reality TV, and you can watch it on Peacock and Bravo. We only do one at a time. We're doing Married to Medicine right now. They're on season 10, and if all of the hot gay men on Twitter that I follow are to be believed, it's really good. I am on the aforementioned For Light and Dice, a Star Wars TTRPG podcast set in the High Republic era. I also write a series of gay thriller novels set in an adult film studio. That's called Beach House Studios. It's on Amazon Kindle. That's all our pluggables. Yay! You can also join me and Bradley for the Teen Wolf Rewatch podcast that's definitely coming at some point. Bradley, go ahead and run the socials. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gold Squadron Gaze. Did Charles fuck something up? Email us at goldsquadrongaze@gmail.com to let us know. You can also find us on Twitter at @GoldSquadGaze, and you can find us on TikTok and Instagram at @GoldSquadronGaze. You can also find us on YouTube at our Gold Squadron Gaze YouTube channel, where we post full episodes of this show. Finally, if you liked the show, don't forget to rate us and give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. That allows other people to find our show. As always, thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gaze, and we'll see you next week. I want to apologize to Bradley in editing for the fact that rain just started up outside my window again.
Well, if you talk, I can't hear it. So there you go.
Well, then I will need to talk. Apologies to Bradley when he has to talk and hear himself in editing. Right. Oh, boy. Why do you always do this, rain in LA?